You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Buzz! 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 Buzz!
Welcome in to another edition of the Ralphie Report. We are 2 weeks deep into the 2022 college football season at this point. In case you didn't know, we are a podcast that covers college athletics. And we like to talk about basketball. We like to talk about college football as a whole. Definitely no team in particular that we are married to or have to look at and watch. I am one co-host, Jack. Over there is Sam, another co-host. Say hello, Sam.
Yeah. Well, we didn't do any like college football preview this week or this year.
No. Nope.
Like generally. We haven't really talked that much about college football as a whole.
Nope.
It's a fun season. So we'll get to the CU stuff later, but we wanted to do a quick little look around because this was a great week in college football. But
yeah,
it's a nice time to check on the top 25, see how things are going. Did you enjoy the chaos this weekend?
By CU stuff, do you mean the Maui Invitational?
We'll get to CU stuff. Don't worry about that, Jack.
As you and the listeners know, we are generalist fans in college football, but CU basketball is our main squeeze. All right, here we go. Let's talk about crazy week.
We'll get to the Buffs.
Crazy week in college football. We'll get to the Buffs. Let's start with the ultimate quiet quitter, the man who did his job so poorly that the person that is employing him did not want to keep him around for $8.5 million for 3 weeks of work. We are, of course, talking about Scott Frost, the ultimate millennial icon.
Yeah, so he, anti-work hero. I don't know where to even go with this. He lost to Georgia Southern. It wasn't a particularly good game for Nebraska, as what happens. Do you know who coaches Georgia Southern?
It's got to be something to do with Tyson Summers, maybe a Georgia assistant, right? Definitely not someone I know.
No. It's Clay Helton. USC coach. Famously good at coaching.
Full circle, baby. He's fired week two of 2021, and he makes the fire in week two 2022.
Yeah, and the thing that Jack alluded to earlier was that if Scott Frost had been fired 3 weeks later, he would not receive however much money he just got as a buyout. I think it had to vest within the first 5 weeks of the season, this $8.5 million buyout that Nebraska fans or boosters are happy to pay because this dude has done absolutely nothing with this program.
Yeah, so Georgia Southern came into Lincoln, by the way. This was in Lincoln, Nebraska. This was the home game. And Clay Helton, first of his name, took over an option team that was an option team like 3 years ago, turned it around already, has an incredible quarterback.
Ooh, Jerick McKinnon.
What?
Jerick McKinnon was the quarterback when they beat
Florida.
Oh, I
didn't know that. That's cool.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So Clay Helton comes into Lincoln with a rebuild job on his hands, and they put up 45 points on the vaunted black shirts in Lincoln, which is just hilarious to me. This is the first time ever that Nebraska has scored more than 35 points in Lincoln and lost. They were 216-0 until last Saturday. They are now 216-1. As Sam mentioned, Scott Frost's total buyout this year was $15 million. Half of that was owed before October 1st. So if they wait until October 1st, I got the number wrong. They would have saved $7.5 million, and he was not even worth that. So Trev Alberts, another Nebraska football legend, who's the athletic director there now, took a look at his resume and pulled the trigger. I believe Scott Frost ended his tenure with 16 total wins in 5 seasons. Correct me if I'm wrong. And there was a fun stat last week that said that Scott Frost would have to win 50 straight games to catch up to Bo Pelini's win percentage. I saw that. But he did not do that. He then lost to Georgia Southern. You know, I have a few favorite Scott Frost moments. I think the favorite would be giving him his first career game as a loss, his first career Nebraska home game, I should say, as a loss. With Tom Osborne there on the sidelines.
What was his excuse for losing that? Do you remember?
Well, the first game they had was against, I believe it was Akron, and it was lightninged off. It was canceled. So they were newer than they should have been with true freshman Adrian Martinez. I loved that game. Stephen Montez showed out that game. That was a Jay McIntyre 2-touchdown game too, if I believe. Nate Lamb an interception. Tony Brown in the LaVisca Chenault in the end zone. He also went off that game. Nebraska fans, always great, sent death threats to Jacob Callier over what they thought he did to Adrian Martinez's knee. And then, you know, my second favorite Scott Frost memory is when he lost again, when he went to Boulder, to Mel Tucker. And his backup kicker just shanked an overtime field goal. They were up 17-0 in that game, the first half. Once again, Stephen Montez with help from Tony Brown. Got to see you back in that game. Here's a throwback name for you. Jaron Mangum had 2 touchdowns. Shout out Jaron Mangum. And Nebraska got the 96-yard flea flicker from Katie Nixon was the highlight of that game. Incredible game. Those are my two favorite Scott Frost memories. I'll miss him.
Yeah, I actually was on the field for that last one. And I tore off my press pass and ran onto the field with the students, which yeah, I think
that was an
would
incredible
have been
field
some
rush.
Trouble if someone found out.
I've just never waved goodbye to so many opposing fans from the field, and that was
so Nebraska now. Fun to do. Are you worried that Nebraska will get ahead of the coaching circle or carousel?
I don't know if they have to get ahead. I'm worried that they're going to be better because they physically. I don't know how, you know. How are they even going to be worse? I don't know. But Mickey Joseph is the interim. You'll never guess. He also played quarterback for Nebraska. This is hilarious to me at this point. But he was good at LSU under Ed Orgeron. He's a good like rah-rah guy. So I would expect a dead cat bounce here for this season. Early reports are that Matt Campbell is the guy and Matt Campbell is interested. We'll see if that's true, but I feel like that'd be a good hire for them. Regionally focused culture build, and they desperately need a culture build. He's a culture builder with the NIL money thrown around there. He doesn't really have to even recruit. He just has to let the money do the recruiting. a lot of Nebraska fans I've seen online have talked about hiring Urban Meyer. That would be absolutely hilarious to me, and also a disaster waiting to happen. They might win some games before it crashes and burns, but that would absolutely crash and burn. And it's just funny to me that that's like the go-to deal with the devil that all these old fan bases want to make, is just go to a guy that went what, like 1-10 his last year he coached football, or whatever he was with the Jaguars. I don't know. Seems crazy to me, but whatever. And now I'll miss him. I think that Nebraska coming to Boulder next year just got a lot harder for CU with Scott Frost gone.
I would say it got harder because CU is involved in that game.
Well, but, now we know about at least one available coach if CU enters the coaching carousel.
Wouldn't be the worst offensive coordinator. Don't want him around the program, though.
He developed Mariota.
Okay, sorry. I was about to go into this, and I just started thinking about how good I thought Marcus Mariota was going to be in the NFL. And I just picked him up in fantasy football because I refused to give up on him.
Oh, my team's an absolute mess. I can't even talk about it.
Well, my team's not. I hit on some players so far. Well, we had upsets all over. Alabama almost got upset by Texas.
Yes. The most watched college football regular season game of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Including by me.
Interesting. Including by you. Two big brand names. And when it got close, you best believe everyone is looking at it. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did. I was reading a paper with that like split screen. And Bryce Young saved their ass. Bijan Robinson is just incredible, as always.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny to see the Colt McCoy injury recreated from 2009.
God, Quinn Ewers was dealing too, man.
It was like first quarter, no?
I know, but he was throwing out some heat, dude. Those are some hard passes he was hitting.
And then Appalachian State beat number 6 Texas A&M. That was excellent because I think Texas A&M ran like 38 offensive plays total.
They did?
Yeah, I think App State had like 80% possession.
They did? This was not a fluky App State Michigan scenario where they went off of, you know, a crazy quarterback and a kick. This was just them straight up bullying a number 6 team in the country for 60 minutes of the game. And Jimbo Fisher just refusing to adapt to anything. So
it's like hilarious. If CU would have actually finished the game last year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That should be a warning sign. Another red flag to A&M fans that CU got that close last year. If we're talking about buyouts, Scott Frost is just made $15 million to never coach football again, if he so chooses. That's a great play. If we're talking about A&M's buyout, Jimbo Fisher would be owed, I believe it's $90 million if they were to fire him this year. So I don't think that's happening. They have deep pockets. Uh-huh. No one has pockets that deep. Absolutely hilarious, though.
Marshall beat number 8 Notre Dame. Also hilarious. let's see, where else? We had number 9 Baylor lose to BYU.
Yes.
We had number 12 Florida lose to Kentucky.
Yes.
all around good games. Number 17, Pitt lost to ranked Tennessee. That's okay. And then we have some fun belt, some Sun Belt fun belt action. Do you have those?
Well, yeah, bro. App State taking down A&M. Marshall, of course, taking down Notre Dame. Remember the name Charles Huff, their head coach. He will be an SEC head coach in the absolute very near future. That guy is incredible. Also, can we talk about how Marcus Freeman, after all this bluster, is the first Notre Dame head coach to ever start 0-3? And then we talked about the other one, Georgia Southern beating Nebraska. That's three Sun Belt teams going on the road and getting paid to whoop ass against the Power Five teams.
Yes, I think they got paid something like $4 million for these wins.
Yes, Georgia Southern was paid $1.4 million. I believe App State was a similar number.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love that. How much did CU pay Air Force to?
None. It was a home and home.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. Pac-12? There was a Pac-12 upset.
Resurgence, bro. Washington State under the dicker. Coming in hard, dude. Beating Wisconsin, 17-point dogs in Madison. That defense is nasty. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Washington State. I have an over 5.5 ticket, I believe. So I like them to go to a bowl game. And that definitely helped me out a little bit. Arizona came back down to earth, losing 39 to, I believe it was 12 or something weird like that. Jaden Delora is a insane person.
Can I play-by-play this play that he did that I sent to you?
Yes.
Okay, so let's see. He drops back. Blitz is coming. Oh, wait, no, he does play action. Blitz is coming. He steps up, evades to his left, runs back, pump fakes, runs back to the right, dives out of two tacklers, runs back to his left, and then chucks a deep pass that is tipped and intercepted.
I love college sports.
Insane. And then what? Oh, never mind. No. I thought there was a fumble at the end, but there was not. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, man. They're going to be fun to watch. You know, I'll say this a few times this year, but this is a maxim I live by. In college football, you can be bad and you can be boring, but you cannot be bad and boring. Don't know who exactly I'm targeting with that statement, but definitely something that's true. USC took it to Stanford. That offense is disgusting, and they're now top 10 in the country. Stanford's quarterback is also legit. Tanner McKee is, like, amazing. After the success of Davis Mills in the NFL, people should be looking at Tanner McKee. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to stay on USC because they did win this game, and they were up 35-14 at half when they kind of stopped playing. Connor Williams looks good. Okay, obviously. Jordan Addison, the Blitnikoff winner, looks just so polished. Oh my God, he's good.
Yes.
How is he so open?
What is he, four touchdowns?
Seven catches, 172 yards, two touchdowns.
Just that, yes. But on the season, he's up to like 250 yards already.
Oh, I see. He is going to score five touchdowns against CU. Brendan Rice is good. He's not even being used right now that much. This is a very good offense.
Rice is the punt returner. I know that. And Mekhi Blackman has a pick already.
I was going to get to that. And then Travis Dye. It's weird watching him not in Oregon, but he's so distinct looking without his gloves. He has like the high little pads, and then he wears nothing. Mm-hmm. And he just runs with it. Like, he's just a kind of a strange player, and it's weird seeing players who have been at a Pac-12 team for 3 or 4 years just go to another one and immediately start playing. It's just kind of strange. So that's my transfer takeaway.
Well, Pac-12 to a Big Ten school. That's not that crazy.
Oh, I see. Okay. Are you afraid of USC this year?
Is fear the right word? I don't know. I'm accepting of what they are. Their schedule just opened up in a very big way, given that Notre Dame is a mere bump in the road now. There's a really real chance to me that they go undefeated. Utah's the big issue there, but Utah has cracks, I think, in the paint. If Antonio Richardson or Anthony Richardson, The Florida quarterback?
Yeah,
what's his name?
Yeah, Anthony Richardson.
If Anthony Richardson did that against them, Caleb Williams will do something similar. And I don't think there's anyone else in the conference that can stop that offense. So I am taking them farther than I thought. I thought they're going to win nine games. I think they might win all 12. So I am that with USC. Well, that scared? I don't know.
I had them as a playoff pick because I didn't want it to happen. I think it might happen. But I also do think a mid-October trip to Utah is going to be very difficult. I assume that Utah is well-coached enough to figure out some of those issues mid-season. I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I can pull it up. I think that the road trip to Oregon State could be a little tricky. Do you?
For USC, that's probably one of the biggest things, but I also think Oregon State's kind of a darling right now that will be exposed. Like, they still don't have the athletes to compete with them on defense. I love Oregon State as a program. I think this year they're going to be really fun to watch, but I don't think that USC game is a trip-up game.
I mean, I don't think the Oregon State had the athletes when they beat them in, like, 2006 or something.
Really? You don't think Jaquizz Rodgers is a good athlete?
I knew you were going to say that, and that's not what I meant. I did not mean Jaquizz Rodgers or his brother, James Rodgers.
I don't know, dude. That was a time of Oregon State football where Mike Riley had it rolling. Like, that was a good team, dude. They went 10-4.
They went 10-4 that year?
Unless this is the wrong year.
Okay. Okay, so I think that could be tricky. You don't think so?
Nope.
That's pretty much it on the schedule until they presumably are in the Pac-12 championship or if something weird happens. Because the rest of these teams, I mean, I think the Pac-12 is not very good and they're not playing Oregon. Can you convince me that there are other good teams besides USC and Utah
in the Pac-12?
From what we've seen, yeah.
I'm not going to call Oregon good because they have Bo Nix at quarterback, but they have talent for sure. Washington, yeah, no, is I, good. I love Washington. I think they beat Michigan State this weekend. Kalen DeBoer is a homie, and Michael Penix actually looks like doable now. So I think Washington is good. I think Washington State is good. I guess you don't, but I think they're fine. And Cal is
well. I mean, like, are they good? Good.
Define good. Good.
Like a top 15, top 20, top 25.
No, they're not team. Top 15 and top 20. Maybe top 25. They're definitely top 35. ASU is not good. Stanford is better than people thought, and Cal is fine on defense. So there it is. There's my really quick
run. Rave reviews. Thank you. Oh, okay. So that was 2006. They were 10-4, that Oregon State team. And they had Matt Moore at quarterback, future
longtime NFL backup. I know Matt Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith at USC went nuts.
Oh my god, yeah, he did. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I forgot to mute myself for that. Great audio content today.
Yeah.
What else do we have today?
There's a few other games we want to talk about. Let's go local. CSU lost to Middle Tennessee State.
Oh shit. I didn't know that.
That's hilarious. Not good. CSU's offensive line is the definition of very bad. I think Clay Millen got sacked 10 times against Middle Tennessee. That's nothing you want to see. Yeah, I would call that very bad for the local teams. I think mine is top 10 in D2.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, man.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Who's coaching Colorado State these days?
Jay Norvell.
Is it Steve Adazio? What?
Jay Norvell, the former Nevada head coach. He brought the whole Nevada team with him.
Oh.
And former UCLA assistant under Carl Durrell. I don't know why I'm saying that, of course, but
they're going to
connection.
Okay, CSU, they're about to play their next two games at Washington State, so they're about to get smacked. Maybe. And then, okay, All right, listen to this one. Then they have a home game against FCS team Sacramento State.
Sacramento State home game? That's a trap. That's a trap, trap dude. Game. Let's see. Where are they? Where's Sacramento State in the Big Sky? Let's do a little Big Sky update. You know I love my Big Sky.
Hmm.
They're 1-0. They're 1-0.
Hmm.
And Sam knows this. I have been stumping for the Weber State football program for quite some time.
I don't know this because I tune it out every time you talk about it.
Well, okay. The Bobcats have been great under Jay Hill. I don't know why I'm praising a head coach that has a relatively low contract and coaches in the region, but I am. Just take from that what you will. But hey, yeah, Jay Hill keeps winning games at Weber State. And this year, they are 2-0.
Oh, my God. They beat Utah State 35-7.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Mountain West champs, reigning Mountain West champs, Utah State. An FCS team, the Weber State, has a point differential this year of 54 points. Oh, no, 64 points. They beat Western Oregon by 41-5, and then they just whooped Utah State 35-7. This is Weber State Bobcat football, baby. You gotta love it. Go Jay Hill. Unfortunately, the fighting Dan Hawkins at UC Davis are 0-2.
Is he there?
Yes, and Cody Hawkins is their offensive coordinator.
Hmm. Which would you rather?
Cody Hawkins. I don't have anything against Cody Hawkins.
Yeah, no, I was about to think Scott Frost or the Hawkins together.
I take the Hawkins together. Dan Hawkins made a bowl, I think, in his career.
Yeah. Amazing time of two ships passing in the night going opposite directions. Colorado versus Alabama in that bowl game.
Under new head coach Nick Saban. Yep. That was – what a fun time.
Do you have any Heisman updates? I'm currently looking at the Kansas State box score versus Mizzou.
I love – Kansas State. We talked about this before. If I was to put out picks in the gambling column, which I will this week, we got that out the door very late this past week, and we're going to keep doing that all year. Kansas State -8.5 versus Missouri was my main pick. I got on that early. They destroyed Missouri. No shot left. But I don't know. Heisman-wise, going to be tough, man. Might be Stetson Bennett. Which would be hilarious. I don't know. Caleb Williams.
That was my pick.
Who?
I think it's going to happen. Caleb Williams is going to happen.
That would be make someone on our site very upset.
Can you believe I accidentally called him Connor Williams, the former Texas Longhorns lineman who is now a backup guard on the Cowboys?
I can't believe that. That sounds like something that you would do.
I know. I'm mad about it. Well, I meant to bring up Kansas State to bring up not only Adrian Martinez leaving for greener pastures, but Deuce Vaughn, who, if you have not seen Deuce Vaughn play, please treat yourself. He is kind of like Clyde Edwards-Alaire mixed with a little bit of K-State legend Darren Sproles.
Yeah, we love Deuce Vaughn. He is a backfield treat. He's in that Darren Hagan mold of small running backs that's so popular in the mouth.
Yeah, because his quads are the size of tree trunks. Oh my god, this guy is like.
Tell you what, man, you can do a lot worse than a guy like Chris Kleiman leading your program. I love what he's done over there.
Oh yeah, this is. I appreciate what they do. I have such respect for Kansas State, just generally.
Let's also give a final shout out to the Sunflower State's own Kansas Jayhawks. Winning by 2 touchdowns in overtime, an unheard of feat. Let's go. Lance Leipold, dude, on the winning train. They beat West Virginia. That's a conference win.
What?
Yeah.
Shit. They haven't had a conference win since they beat Texas the last 2 years.
I know. And this and they were less than 10-point dogs for like the first time in 10 years.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, if they can turn it around, anyone can turn it around. Anyone can turn it around, I say.
Mm-hmm. Anyone with the right coaching staff can turn it around.
Well, on that note, we could probably talk about the Colorado Buffaloes.
We certainly could. That could be a thing that we want. We could do.
2024 Maui Invitational. Your Colorado Buffaloes will be competing in the prestige early season basketball tournament. They will be sunning and tanning and suntanning on the beautiful beaches of Hawaii and playing basketball in between.
Not did just Hawaii, the best island, Maui.
Yes, of course, of course. They will be playing with blue bloods such as North Carolina, UConn, Michigan State, and capital P programs, Memphis, Iowa State, and Dayton. That's okay. A good group. That's not the best Maui Invitational, you could say. That's okay. They don't have USC. I mean,
yeah.
They don't have UCLA and Gonzaga and Kentucky. And
or Chaminade.
Or Chaminade, yes. They're playing in 2023, so they're not going to be in here. What a get for Ted Boyle.
Huge.
What does this do?
Publicity. This is like the premier, like you said, preseason basketball tournament. If you're watching what they're calling Feast Week on ESPN, this is like their main event. This will be nationally televised. Like you said, some great teams in that field. Ben Burrows on Twitter tweeted out that this is an opportunity to beat Dayton three times in three states for Tap Oil. Something that's important. And I don't want to speak too soon, but it's possible that 2024 team is incredible. I think the 2023 team has a better shot of being a national contender, but the 2024 team will have potentially senior KJ Simpson and Quincy Allen and Lawson Lovering as upperclassmen. So something to keep an eye on. CU should be pretty good that year, but it's great. It's great news. And it's fun for CU fans to be able to travel to Maui to watch football, our basketball.
Are we traveling to Maui?
I was absolutely looking at it. I don't know if flights are even available, but that would be very fun.
Oh, they are not. I can tell you that.
Well, there you go then.
That is a good question, though. What team do you think will be better? The 2023 team?
Yes.
Which will presumably have Tristan Da Silva and who am I forgetting?
A lot of people.
I know I'm forgetting a lot of people. I'm thinking of the who is the senior with Tristan?
Nick Clifford.
Yes, okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Would you rather the team with Nick Clifford and Tristan and Luke O'Brien, by the way? Or a team with more experienced? Well, that would also have upperclassmen KJ Simpson, Julian Hammond, Quincy Allen, Lawson Levering. This team is very talented.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or would you rather, with the way recruiting is going, would you rather have those junior players that year become seniors plus whatever talent they have coming up?
Probably 2023, because 2023, CU's still in the running for the five-star Cody Williams and the insane crop of local big man. So them coming in, I guess you give them a chance to develop in 2023, but senior Tristan Da Silva, I think, is going to compete for first team all Pac-12. And losing him and Clifford, if Clifford's not already gone after this year, will be pretty rough. Pretty tough to replace.
Okay, so as much as I do love Clifford, we kind of did talk about it, that they're just kind of recruiting wings who can just do everything.
I
sent you something. You should look at the picture on that.
Okay. This is fun.
Joe Hurlbert.
Oh, man. Hell yeah. That's a Tab Boyle player right there, dude. Yeah, that's a Tab Boyle player.
The freshman from North Dakota has a great picture. With a little mustache and sloppy hair.
You can't you can't say that we're a flashy program.
No. Oh, dude, Javon Hadley looks great in his
picture. I love the turtleneck looking thing. I don't think it is a turtleneck, but I love it.
Wait, no, it's not. No, it looks like it could be a turtleneck.
But he'll also be gone for that 2024 team.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So are you? You're taking the bird in the hand versus the potential what could be, because I get the 2023 team. Like, if you do count like the target Cody Williams, and if they get one of these young big men from Colorado, would those guys be one and done types, or would they be there for the next year too? Do you think?
The big man would not be one and done. The big man would not be one and done. Cody Williams would be one or two done max. I'm pretty sure he'd be one and done. If he's two done, then 2024 takes the cake. But
if you're the 30th ranked prospect in a high school draft class, you're probably not one and done unless you either are trying to get the bag for your family or you pop off in a big way.
Yeah, the thing that he has going for him is his older brother was a lottery pick literally last year. So,
yeah, you don't have to be condescending about it, but you're right.
That is a plus, I think, in his pro readiness.
Especially because, like his brother was a late bloomer and he's a late bloomer. So you can pretty much say, like, any of his weaknesses will be something that will develop.
Yep. Yeah. But also, we don't want to count that chicken before he hatches. He's got plenty of visits left, and CU has insane competition for him. But, 2023 team is going to be pretty gnarly, man. Just
could be. CU's never had a one and done.
I think you're right.
Unless you count, like, Lazar Nikolic.
Or Bryce Peters.
That was my first thought, but I was not going to touch that.
I don't know. I'm excited for the Maui Invitational in 2024. I mean, I took a look this weekend at some of the future football schedules, too. 2023 schedule is insanely fun. It's insanely fun. But you know, it's only fun if you win those games. But coming to Boulder in 2023 is Nebraska and CSU with some games on the road at TCU in the non-con. With what I would say the more winnable home games of Arizona, Oregon State, Stanford, all at home. I don't know.
You're looking at this year, next year, next year,
next year. The year after that, we, like idiots, invited North Dakota State into Folsom. That's going to be a loss.
You're talking about football again?
I'm talking about future football schedules. Hell yeah.
Future football. I thought we were talking about basketball. So I was very confused. I was like, when did these games get announced?
No.
Okay. I was just thinking, yes, earlier today, that the North Dakota State game, I was like, I remember the article being written up like 5 years ago. That got scheduled in the future. And I thought, shouldn't it have happened by now? And I thought that it got canceled or changed.
And no, football schedules get locked in way out ahead, man. We have games locked in for 2033.
Yeah, against like Texas A&M or something.
We have games going out to 2038, dude.
Jesus. Why are programs scheduling North Dakota State like at all?
I don't know. There's no reason for it.
There's no, like, we should know better.
We should know better.
It's not like App State, where they kind of can surprise a team. Like, who did they play last week? No, they played North Carolina. Like Texas A&M, maybe they don't know App State that well. Everyone should know North Dakota State.
North Dakota State.
We forgot to talk about Iowa football, speaking of losing to North Dakota State, as they like to do.
Boy, that offense, man.
Okay, would you rather Scott Frost, the Hawkins boys, or the Ferentz boys?
Ferentz boys.
Running our offense. Running our offense.
Oh, just the offense?
Yep.
Hawkins boys.
Okay. Well, do we got anything? Do we have anything else for this podcast? It might be a little short one.
I don't think so. I'm What are you doing this weekend? Last weekend, it was super rainy and cold on Saturday. I spent like 5 hours out in that for some reason, down in the Springs. I don't know. I'm not doing that this Saturday, thankfully. So I think I'm just going to hike, golf.
I did stay up watching football last Saturday night. It made me feel miserable.
CBS?
I don't know. I was just streaming. It was not worth the stream, I don't think. Not worth getting caught. Certainly not worth the time or the energy. So I don't know if I'll watch football again this Saturday. It kind of takes a lot out of me. Definitely not Saturday night. But Red Zone, I'll watch Red Zone this weekend on Sunday. That'll be nice. My fantasy team is looking nice. I won't say which bounce back players I picked up. No Saquons or anything. But I'm feeling good. I'll play some basketball. I'll play some football this weekend. I'm really loving the sports out here. I forgot to tell you that I joined a flag football team.
Nice.
And I'm the only American in like basically the whole Danish league. And it's very fun because I forgot that I'm actually good at this sport.
Yeah. Some buff dominated the European Football League for a little bit.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
I think BJ Beattie played Japanese football.
That's what I was thinking. It was BJ Beattie is playing in Japan, but no, that's not it.
Yeah, crazy. I don't think there's anything else that we forgot to discuss or talk about. I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good. All right. Well, see you, Jack. Have a nice weekend. Hope you don't do anything too rowdy.
Yeah, man. I hope so, too.
Enjoy your day. Enjoy your weekend, I'm trying to say.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll try my best. I'm not watching any football on Sunday, but I'll watch Saturday. Okay. Certain things.
Good luck. Good luck out there.
All right. Bye.
Buzz.